Let's go further together.
Find out how you can join the mission. Learn more at standuptocancer.org/AA.
Wouldn't you like to stop feeling self-conscious about your receding hairline or thinning hair? Millions of men and women around the world trust Hair Grow from New Nordic as an effective way to get thicker looking hair. Ask for Hair Grow at your local Walgreens or shop online at Amazon.com or NewNordicUSA.com.
Come on in to Total Wine & More. Price is much lower than a grocery store. With the lowest prices for over 30 years, you'll always find what you love and love what you find. Only at Total Wine & More.
Drink responsibly, B21.
Something magical happens when you unbox the best of British TV with BritBox. Stream acclaimed series starring Olivia Colman, Idris Elba, Sophie Turner, Matthew McFadden, and more of Britain's brightest talent. See what's inside, discover something remarkable, and uncover what perhaps you were looking for all along. Unbox BritBox and stream the best of British TV. Start your free trial at BritBox.com.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. The sentence for the convicted killer of Laken Riley, Judge Patrick Haggard, imposing the maximum where he could.
Count one. Malice murder. I sentence you to life without the possibility of parole.
Jose Ibarra found guilty in all 10 counts in the murder of Riley. Susan Smith, who was convicted of murdering her two boys, rolling her car into a South Carolina lake 30 years ago, denied parole today. A huge so-called bomb cyclone storm pushing a large amount of moisture from the Pacific into the Pacific Northwest, being blamed for at least two deaths. The U.S. pausing operations at the embassy in Kyiv, warning of a significant aerial attack following the Biden administration's authorizing Ukraine to fire U.S. long-range missiles into Russian territory. And today, Biden agreeing to supply Ukraine with anti-personnel mines. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu visited Gaza today, where he said, whoever dares to harm our hostages, blood on his head. This is ABC News. Shares in Target down sharply after disappointing quarterly earnings. Some say this could have wider repercussions.
Sales increased by just 0.3% in the third quarter, and Target's forecasting flat sales for the rest of the year. This could be an alarm bell for the broader retail industry heading into the holiday shopping season. Target CEO told analysts consumers are still grappling with inflation. But some lower-cost retailers have not had the same problem. Walmart raised its earnings expectations after it saw profits jump by 8% in the quarter. Brian Clark, ABC News.
Some people upset with the results of the U.S. presidential election have threatened to leave the country. Now, they've got a new offer from Italy. A village in Sardinia is offering homes that need work for $1 to Americans who are, quote, worn out by global politics. The inexpensive real estate is part of an ongoing campaign across Italy to fight population decline. Dave Packer, ABC News.
I got a line.
He got a line.
She got a line.
We got four lines. Cricket Nation, cue finger guns. Really easy, super stress-free. 5G so fast, like blazing fast. Games and memes, you'll have a blast. You can get fast 5G across four lines. You can get fast 5G across four lines. As we discuss, take it from us. We four are one, Cricket Nation.
And only $25 a line. Welcome to more lines. Welcome to Cricket Nation. Smile, you're on Cricket.
Cricket 5G requires a compatible device and is not available everywhere. Discount varies by line. Fees may apply. Terms and restrictions apply. See CricketWireless.com for details.
Here's another great reason to use the United States Postal Service this season. Your boxes are wrapped and the gifts are in. Our employees are ready. Let the holiday ride begin. Let's start with the price. It's easy to manage when you ship with the reliable USPS Ground Advantage. In just a few days, it's sure to arrive. We're working nonstop to keep the spirit alive. USPS Ground Advantage, the affordable and reliable shipping solution for the holidays. Visit USPS.com/advantage.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Allen. Wisconsin's Office of Lawyer Regulation accuses former State Supreme Court Justice Mike Gabelman of ethical violations as part of his failed probe into the 2020 election. Law Forward filed that complaint. Chief Counsel Jeff Mandel says it's a reminder that no one is above the law.
And this complaint is the end of that investigation. It shows that they agree with that and filed 10 different counts on which he had violated those ethical duties and asks the Supreme Court to take action. We think this is a good sign for Wisconsin. This accountability is taking time. The wheels of justice move slowly.
Gableman is accused of making false statements, disrupting court proceedings, and leaking personal information of Assembly Speaker Robin Voss after their partnership in the investigation soured. The state Supreme Court will now have to decide whether any action will be taken against Gableman. Demolition is underway at Milwaukee's long-empty Northridge Mall. Mayor Cavalier Johnson Tuesday said he wants residents to understand it won't come down in a hurry.
This process is going to take some time. It's expected to take through next year all the way up until the fall of 2025.
The abandoned mall has been the scene of numerous and dangerous arson fires. Milwaukee Fire Chief Aaron Lipsky is glad to see it go.
And so I'll end on a lighter note, and I'll steal someone else's line, and I'll say, Mr. Mayor, tear down this mall.
Johnson said once the site is cleared, it can serve as a catalyst to redevelop Milwaukee's northwest side and grow the city. Arson is not being ruled out in three early morning fires Monday in northwest Wisconsin's Sawyer County. A residence under construction and an unoccupied residence were both total losses, while a third fire damaged the Birchwood American Legion post. All three fires are being investigated by the Sawyer County Sheriff's Office and the State Department of Criminal Investigation. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Christmas, when we were growing up, was different. It was about being hunkered down in your hometown and hearing the same stories Dad always told about Christmases past. While I like those traditions, I wanted something easier. This year, we're all meeting in Alexandria, Minnesota. The kids, their kids, card games, hot chocolate, all the outdoor fun, and oh, we'll still tell stories, but we'll also be making new stories, too.
Explore your holiday getaway options at explorealex.com.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. A raw November day today with increasing clouds. It'll be breezy and cold with a few scattered snow showers, a high of 37. For tonight, scattered snow showers around in the evening hours, otherwise mostly cloudy, blustery, with lows in the upper 20s. Looking for a great place to live, stay, shop, and play? It's easy to get to Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look. Right now, it's 30.
Wheat futures were higher again today, but that market does seem to be losing upside momentum. Still, that helped pull corn prices to a high-range close. Bean prices were pulled down by sharp losses in soybean oil futures. The cattle complex was mixed as it waits on direction from the cash cattle trade, with buyers rolling back into the lean hog trade.
Live from the summit of Hump Day via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we chat with Rich Nelson from Allendale. Directly following the news, Todd Bubba Horwitz from BubbaTrading.com. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now, say hello to the host of AgriTalk, Chip Lowry.
All right, Davis. Hey, thank you so much. Yeah, looking forward to the conversation with Rich Nelson. Coming
Absolutely.
Up here in just a little bit, we put together an outline for some of the things that we want to talk about. We got to get to the bottom line on what Rich anticipates for the balance sheet, the supply and demand sheets, some of the changes to anticipate after USDA gave us an update earlier this month. All right, 35 degrees, the wind is blowing, it's spitting snow. It looks like late November out here.
Uh-huh. That seems about right. I make it November 20, so, you know, it checks out seasonally
kind of
a thing. We're 51 degrees now. A pretty stiff wind blowing here in Kansas City, but sunny. So, yeah. I mean, I guess.
Yeah, I get that would make me feel better than what we've got out there right now.
I think you'd like it.
It's a little overcast. You think I would?
Get some ribs.
Really?
We get some ribs in you. You'll warm up in a big hurry, brother.
No doubt. Boy, there's a lot going on in the markets right now, and it just doesn't feel like the commodity trade, the commodity world, outside of the U.S. dollar, really wants to. You participate that much. I mean, coffee was sharply higher today. You look at some of the markets. Yeah, you look at some of the markets, and there's reactions happening out there. Believe me, I have no idea why coffee was sharply higher today, but it kind of feels like we are into the holiday doldrums in this commodity trade. I want to talk to Rich about that coming up here in just a little bit. We can get Bubba's take on that as well.
Well, and you know,
All right.
Alaska, as of, I believe, sunset yesterday, has entered that period where the North Pole and the Arctic won't see any more sun for like another 10 years or something. That might have something to do with the coffee thing. That might.
Yeah, I think it's 60 some days, isn't it?
Yeah, it's terrible. Yeah.
Yeah, can you imagine? Oh, my gosh.
You'd need a little coffee to get through that. Let's get to the news. Wheat futures ended the session higher on support from increased geopolitical tensions in the Black Sea region. Adding support, speculation Russian farmers will plant about 10% fewer acres to winter wheat for the 2025 harvest. Putting a cap on price strength in wheat futures was a sharp rally in the U.S. dollar index. December soft red winter wheat futures closed higher for a fourth consecutive session, but this week's price action has all happened inside the boundaries of last week's trading range. Chip, that suggests an overall sideways price trend ahead. December HRW wheat futures today 3.5 cents higher at 561.75. December spring wheat up, December soft red wheat up 2.75, 552.5. Let me look up here on my screen for the spring wheats. Unsettled at this point. Up 3.75, 590.5. Is that what you've got too?
That's what I've got, buddy.
Yep.
Oh,
ethanol production in the.
Let me throw some.
let
me throw something in here real quick.
Please.
Lots of news coming out of the Black Sea region, and not much price reaction at this point. We've talked about how the wheat market has grown numb to the headlines coming out of the Black Sea region, but I just have a feeling that can't last much longer. We'll talk to Rich about it.
Well, Chip, ethanol production in the weekend of November 15 averaged 1.11 million barrels per day. That's down just 3,000 barrels from the previous week, but is 87,000 barrels ahead of the same week last year. Ethanol stocks in the week up 524,000 barrels to 22.563 million barrels. Chip, there are some areas of dry soils developing in Brazil and Argentina, but forecasters not sounding any alarms just yet about an extended dry period. The lack of a crop threat in South America is limiting upside price momentum in corn futures here. December corn opened slightly lower and fell through support at yesterday's low before recovering to spike resistance at yesterday's high. December corn then slipped back to close just above resistance. December corn futures were 3 cents higher, 4.30¼. March corn up 2.25 to 4.40 even. July corn futures closed at 4.50, up 1.5 cents, Chip.
Yeah, D's corn zeroing in on that 5.30 level. That's going to be tough to break away from.
Well, USDA this morning announced the sale of 202,000 metric tons of soybeans to China and the sale of 226,000 metric tons of beans to unknown destinations, both sales for delivery in the current marketing year. That demand helped January beans spike resistance at $10 before dropping back to post a low range close. Sharply lower soybean oil prices pulled bean prices to the downside. The lack of a crop threat in South America is limiting buying in bean futures, as is a concern about a potential trade war with China. January beans 8 cents lower, 9.90½. March beans down 9.25, 9.99¼. July beans closed at 10.25¼. That's down 8.25 cents, Chip.
Yeah, December soybean meal today down 88.0 cents a ton, 289.40, and December soybean oil down 156 points, 43.28 on the close in that D's bean oil. All right, we'll get to the rest of the news here in just a bit. Let's bring in Todd Horowitz, BubbaTrading.com. Bubba, what's going on?
What's happening, fellas? Well, listen, it's, you know, the markets are starting to break a little bit. Commodities are looking a little bit better. Beans are a little bit lower today, but I'm not concerned. I think that they're going to go higher, and I don't care about trade war or no trade war. It's still a supply-demand business, and if there's too much supply, we're not going to get the benefit anyways, and if there's not enough supply, we're going to get it. So, you know, I think that we're going to have a good fourth quarter. I think grains are going to go higher, and I think cattle's going lower and hogs are going higher. So there's my summation.
That's it right there. Tell guys what to expect during this time of the year as we get into the holidays.
Expect very quiet trade for most of the part. I think from a trading standpoint, you've got about 4 weeks left in the year, because the Christmas is the Thanksgiving week is nothing, and the 2 weeks after after Christmas or after the December expiration are virtually worthless. So you've got about 4 weeks left to go of trading. I do think that the big key for everybody is going to be if equities break. That is going to be the key, because that's where all the money is hiding out. The new money we need for grains, the new money we need for other commodities. But you are watching, you know, orange juice going higher again, coffee going higher again, cotton up a little bit today. So again, you're going to see the inflation trade. You know, you got these guys cutting rates with no purpose. And of course, if you've watched, the 10-year notes are now 4.5%. They were 3.4 on September the 18th when the Fed made their first cut.
Yeah. It is amazing the way that the real rates are moving away from the
direction. Real rates are going higher because the banks want to make more money, and we got we're going to have a lot of inflation. That's going to be spiking here, and that'll hopefully help our commodity trade.
That will helpfully do it. All right. Good stuff, Bubba. Thanks, man. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks, Zipper.
You bet. Todd Horwitz, BubbaTrading.com. Rich Nelson from Allendale. Up next, AgriTalk.
AgMarket.net is releasing its upgraded app. The AgMarket.net app with revised MyFarm software is now available on Google Play and the Apple App Store. A desktop version is available through the website. Evaluate multiple profit scenarios, maintain a dashboard of farm marketing operations, and view local cash and futures bids. Track production costs, calculate dynamic break-evens, and record crop sales within multiple farms. Download it today at AgMarket.net or call 844-4AG-MRKT to learn more. There's a risk of loss in trading futures under options.
The Scoop Podcast is where we talk about tight supply chains, emerging agronomic challenges, technology tools delivering ROI. I'm Margie Eckelkamp, editor of The Scoop and host of The Scoop Podcast. Join me as I interview leaders from across the ag retail sector. Farmers are working hard for every bushel, and their trusted advisors are by their side. Find The Scoop Podcast wherever you find podcasts so you are up to date on everything ag retail.
Okay, antibodies, huddle up. We're a great team, but the flu is dominating. The good news is the human we're protecting just got his flu shots. That means all of us antibodies have strong new gear that will help us fight and defend against the flu. We must win so that our human can stay healthy and help protect the people he cares about most.
Let's work as a team to defend against the flu. Gear up with a flu shot to help protect yourself and others and reduce your risk of being sick or hospitalized with the flu. Learn more at GetMyFluShot.org. Brought to you by the AMA, CDC, and the Ad Council.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report, and more than a host, I'm a journalist, a wife, and a mom of two, raising a family in the heart of rural America. I understand the issues facing agriculture today because I live it every day. I see firsthand how farming and ranching isn't just a job, it's a way of life. Covering America's most important industry is what we do, and it's why U.S. Farm Report has been on the air for nearly 50 years. I invite you to join us every weekend for U.S. Farm Report, a timely, trusted tradition.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit WICorn.org and become a member today.
Healthcare your way. I'm nurse practitioner Nikki Gillis from Provisions Health of Durand. At Provisions Health, we provide convenient, affordable, and personalized healthcare services to individuals, families, and businesses in and around our community. From in-person or telehealth, simple acute care visits, DOT, and workplace physicals, and affordable lab testing services without a doctor's order, health and wellness is our priority. Visit Provisions Health, 309 3rd Avenue West, Durand, or online at provisions.health.
In the morning, you're coffeeed up and you're thinking. In the afternoon, you've calmed down, but you're still thinking. We're here all day. AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad you're with us. We are going to get to the conversation with Rich Nelson from Allendale here in just a moment. First, Davis, let's go ahead and finish up that market news.
Sure thing. Well, I've got December cotton today, 157 points higher at 68.46. Mm-hmm. On your livestock's heavyweight choice graded box beef prices, 48 cents lower this morning. That limited trade interest in live cattle after yesterday's strong rally. December fat cattle today down 27.5 to 186.30. February futures slipped 7.5 cents to 187.92.5. Jan feeders up 32.5 to 252.32.5. And front month lean hog futures chopped on both sides of 80 bucks for a fifth consecutive session. Deese hogs 97.5 higher, 80.52.5. Feb hogs up a buck 60, 84.47.5, buddy.
All right. Thank you very much, Davis. Rich Nelson, Chief Strategist at Allendale Inc., is our guest analyst today. Rich, it's good to talk to you again. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you guys doing out there?
Doing just fine. Just fine. How's the weather holding up for you?
Well, we got a little cloudy skies here for today, and pretty much going to be the case for the next few days. A little snow, actually, here in northeast Illinois in these next couple of days as well, maybe 1 to 3 inches for us.
Oh, man, I hope we don't end up with that, although it is still spitting snow as we speak here, Rich. That's the change in the season is happening right before our very eyes.
No doubt.
Okay, Rich, here's the deal. There's a couple of questions that have come in when they saw that you were going to be on. This one is in from Dan, and I'm going to paraphrase it a little bit. Do we just have to assume that there is going to be a trade war with China in 2025?
Good question. I think we do for now, and we do for now on the soybean discussion. I would rein back a little concern for us on corn. I don't really see much hitting on that side, but maybe for soybeans until we're proven otherwise. I think we have to assume it, and I do think this market is still going to trade this artificial price discount to where it should be. So I think that's in place, at least for another few weeks here.
Okay. The follow-up to it was going to be, what does that mean for this bean trade then? What does it mean?
You know, I think we can say at least this. The first 2 years of the Trump presidency, we saw about 400 million bushels taken off exports for soybeans. So I think most of us are saying it's probably not going to be that dramatic. Maybe can we take off 100? So this does still give us maybe possibility of maybe at this price on the soybean side for futures. You could test 925, something like that. So I think this does open a little concern for us still in front of us on the downside. But I think on the corn side, at least we can say, I think a lot of these concerns have been a little overblown in the grand scheme of things. Mexico is not going to be cutting exports from or buying from us. China doesn't buy much from us in the past couple of years anyway for corn. So I think this is mainly a soybean story for right now, at least here.
Yeah. Excellent. The question was coming in because of Trump's pick for Commerce Secretary, Howard Lutnick from Cantor Fitzgerald. And there seems to be increasing speculation that Robert Lighthizer might be the pick for Treasury. If you've got Fitzgerald and Lighthizer working together between the Treasury, Commerce, and, you know, throw USTR in there as well, they do seem to be gearing up for some kind of a battle with China. I mean, they're putting China hawks in place is what it looks like to me.
Certainly true. And we all remember Lighthizer from last time was a very aggressive person on the tariff and trade disruption standpoint. So this is something a lot of us on US Ag are still watching. I think for right now, it is still a valid moderate concern for us right now.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. All right. Let's talk balance sheets here. Thank you for that, Rich, because this is there's no way of predicting what is going to happen. But we do have to take a look at what the possibilities are in this market and how it might be factored into the price outlook and so on. So let's talk the balance sheet. Let's talk for corn. You said that things are maybe tightening up a little bit there. How tight might it get?
You know, and this is a great story because this is quite a bit different than soybeans. We have proof in front of us on the corn side that for exports, we're doing quite well. We've got 25 million bushels over USDA. It's probably a little bit more when it's all said and done. This ethanol story is outrageously positive. 8% over last year this week, 6% last couple weeks. Keep in mind, USDA's been talking about a net decline for this year. So we might beat this corn for ethanol story, not just by 50 million bushels, which I've got on my balance sheet right now. It might be even up to 150 million bushels. So stock-wise, USDA is a low 1.9 billion bushel point. We're already, for our own numbers, just about 1.8 and change, so 1.86. So on this end, and we can argue, further decline still ahead of us in these coming months for corn. I think that's a solid story for us.
Okay. The ethanol story here, is it just anticipation that there's going to be a longer life for liquid fuels under a Trump administration? Is that what it is?
You can make that argument, but also, you know, when we look at the trade numbers on the export side, and it's not just one country which is buying 25% more from us than last year, you've got our main four buyers, India, Brazil, Canada. Each of these are at least 30% over last year. So on the positive story, there is some other U.S. or non-U.S. biofuel-based stories, which we are benefiting from. So positive. We're getting rid of much of this product out of the country. So that's a good standpoint. And USDA is still quite too low on their overall numbers as it stands right now.
Okay. Okay. You know, one of the things about it, we talked a lot about biofuels on AgriTalk, whether it be the morning show or the afternoon show. And it seems like right now with this transition in the administration, the conversation is coming up on a regular basis. We've talked quite a bit now about bringing the carbon intensity down, whether it be through production practices or sequestration of that carbon with a CO2 pipeline. Is all of that necessary, or is there enough life left in ethanol just as an oxygenate in the gasoline supply, Rich?
That's a very interesting point. And especially, you know, we haven't been dropping this gasoline usage at the level we thought we were going to be. You know, 5 years ago, we were set with a belief system we'd be seeing 1-2% declines in gasoline driving each and every year.
Yes.
We're not exactly seeing that type of decline. In fact, since September, gasoline usage is actually higher than last year. So I do think that the story is perhaps more stable than we thought it was. Maybe it's not a gangbuster story for us on the corn side, but maybe in 2 years, maybe 3 years, we can start to make an even better story for us here.
Yeah. Okay. You know, we spent years focused on the development of that biofuels industry, the ethanol industry. It's become I don't want to call it a back burner issue, but I think the word that you used right there, the stability in that market, my opinion, if it is a stable market, Rich, that's overall, that's a price positive for corn at in this 4.25-4.30 range, isn't it?
It certainly is. And let's also put this in the backdrop of another story going on, which is non-U.S. corn exports. So the world net corn export story is when we're popping out some extra product this year for the world market. But this is done in the context of everybody else having a decline. Brazil's exports on corn since April, they're down 11 million tons compared with last year. So the corn story on the ethanol side is positive because stable usage is still a positive story. On top of that, we still have a demand pull from the world market for U.S. corn. So corn story, it's a good one for right now with still ahead of us declines in endostocks.
Okay. corn carryover, 24-25. What are you thinking there?
Yeah, so as far as that goes, we're at, for this current market year, 1.86. So we're running 60, 70 million bushels under USDA. If we had normal pricing, that's 470, 480. We're going to have a 40-cent discount right now. I think we're okay price, but the message you said earlier is correct. I do agree there's support for us. Anything we test 430 and below.
Fantastic. Okay. We're just we're off and running with Rich Nelson, Chief Strategist at Allendale Inc. We're going to continue the conversation, go through that process on the soybean balance sheet. That's next here on AgriTalk. No doubt you've heard of MetLife, but did you know that MetLife Investment Management has over 100 years of ag lending experience? The MetLife Investment Management team maintains close relationships with its borrowers and can structure a customized loan with flexible terms to meet your financial needs. Looking to expand, refinance, or recapitalize? Consider MetLife Investment Management. Learn more at MetLife.com/ag.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Let's go to the markets page at profarmer.com and check today's closes. Where December HRW wheat futures were 3.5 cents higher at 561.75. December SRW wheat up 2.75 to 552.5. December corn futures were 3 cents higher at 430.25. March corn up 2.25 to 440 even. January soybean futures 8 cents lower at 990.5. March beans down 9.25 to 9.99.25. December cotton today 157 points higher at 68.46. On your livestock's December fat cattle down 27.5 cents to 186.30. January feeder futures up 32.5 to 252.32.5. And December lean hog futures 97.5 cents higher at 80.52.5. Get more. Visit tryprofarmer.com.
No one should have to navigate herd health alone. Luckily, you don't have to. A successful operation requires teamwork. Visit bio-vet.com and let us help identify key challenges and offer expert solutions unique to your situation. We evaluate your full herd health plan and make economical recommendations to your operation. Learn more about our team and products for herd health at bio-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
Hey, this is Matthew with Bluff Country Feed and Seed. When you start to think about planting roots and building your foundation for spring, fertilizing crops is like putting money in the bank. You put dollars or pounds in, but are your investments paying you interest? Or does it seem like you only get out what you put in, or even less? Soil health and living biology are the ticket to unlocking the next bushel. Farming for Biology takes a customized approach. Let my team help create your soil health strategy. Check out our website or give us a call today.
Tax season is just around the corner. Let the experienced tax professionals at Sundstrom & Company in downtown Durand help you explore ways you can save money on your taxes. Sundstrom & Company works with farms, corporations, family-owned businesses, and individuals to make your tax headaches disappear. Call or visit Sundstrom today for an appointment at their Main Street Durand location next to the Courier Wedge. Sundstrom & Company, local accountants providing quality tax and financial management since 1980.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. A raw November day today with increasing clouds. It'll be breezy and cold with a few scattered snow showers, a high of 37. For tonight, scattered snow showers around in the evening hours, otherwise mostly cloudy, blustery, with lows in the upper 20s. Looking for a great place to live, stay, shop, and play? It's easy to get to Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look. Right now, it's 30.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. You're listening to AgriTalk, where the conversation begins. Join us at 855-4-TALK-AG.
We're in the middle of a conversation with Rich Nelson, Chief Strategist at Allendale Inc. We made our way, like, I thought we were all the way through the corn balance sheet there, Rich, and then I realized we didn't even talk about the supply side of that balance sheet. Is there room for movement on the supply side?
There is, and keep in mind, we usually actually do change a bushel and a half, something like that, going into the January report, so there is. For myself, I'm fine with the USDA's numbers as they stand. We're still lightly above trend yields. We've curtailed a little bit here since August, but I'm okay with where we're standing right now on the supply side.
All right. Excellent. Well, then let's start there on soybeans. It's not very often that they go from October to November and take as much off of the national average bean yield as they did. It certainly suggests that there is a trend in place as we make our way to the January annual production summary, doesn't it?
It certainly does, and that's a key issue. So we had the smallest rainfall August and September since at least going back to 1980. So one of the driest finishes we've had. We just saw, like you mentioned, USDA hack. In fact, they took the biggest hit they've ever taken on that November report just a couple weeks ago. And typically there is just a little bit more when they are dropping into late fall. There's usually a little bit more in the January, so maybe we could tighten up the balance sheet just a little bit more here in a couple months.
Yeah. Okay, now we were talking about some upside movement on the demand side for the corn. It's tougher to make that argument on beans, isn't it?
Oh, yes, there is. And you know, you can say, you know, USDA cut a little bit off of domestic crush on the most recent supply-demand report. I don't think they should have done that, so maybe we can add back in 15, 25 million bushels, but what do you do with exports? That's our big, big question, especially when you have as much as 100 million bushel leeway, at least, potentially, if there is some type of a trade disruption.
Right. Right. Okay. I'm calling up a chart right now. I want to get it in front of me before I say anything about it. Okay, that helps me. This bean oil market stinks right now, Rich. Why?
So we had our big rally. We set back pretty good back in just past, four or five sessions. We've lost a little support, which we did have for palm oil, which is kind of a unique story going on right there. And I think also maybe some of us have reined in some of our bullish hopes regarding this used cooking oil import issue. Yes, we may have a 10% tariff here in the U.S. Maybe that's going to restrict some of the oil imports. Maybe we can argue that the lower Chinese export incentive from last week, it is something, but China's only about 40% of our oil imports for that processed oil sector. So it maybe will restrict them, but we're not going to in any way stop the large increase in oil imports we've had this year.
Where's the rest of that oil coming from?
You know, once you're kind of looking at the breakdown, it is mainly the bulk oils. So you've got processed oil, which is what we're going to call used cooking oil as a general category. But then all the other oils, which are kind of in that same competing sector. Not all can be used for biofuels, but they all kind of compete in that same sector. All these have shown large increases. I want to say about 30 to 50% increase for imports this year for oils as a group here.
Man, oh, man. That's another one where we need to watch what is happening in D.C. on it, because if they would come and say, listen, you're not getting any of the tax credits on imported cooking oil, UCO, that it's got to be a U.S. product, that would change the dynamic of the market, wouldn't it?
It sure would. And kind of put this into context for a lot of our listeners. The total edible oil imports, so everything all put together, the imports, they've jumped 80% in just 3 years. Yes, that's a portion of the market we certainly want to have.
Yeah, no doubt. Okay. Talk to me about what the cash market is telling you for both corn and soybeans.
Well, on the positive side, let's have a good positive discussion. So we all understand that basis has narrowed in. So good news there. And I think that's a real important point to make, because even in heavy supply years, we do pick up basis from harvest lows going into December or January. So corn basis, we picked up 16 cents off the major lows we had back in September. Typically for corn, there's another 14 cents more as we go into December. So good news there. Soybean side, I think for the basis discussion, we picked up 24 cents off those major lows. And I don't know if I would call that ravenous demand rather than farmers are not selling. I think that's probably a separate question right there. But even in heavy years, there's still 17 cents more as we go into January. So
really?
Good rebound there. Valid on corn. Maybe for soybeans, it might be a little iffy there.
Okay. It is a heavy supply year. Nobody's going to argue that.
Yeah.
But it feels, and I've had, when I get one person asking the question, I think to myself, drive, you know, get outside of your 15-mile radius. When I pick it up a couple of times, it starts to raise my interest. When I pick it up four or five times like I have now, the question is, aren't we working through these ground piles pretty quickly? And I think we probably are. That's what the market structure would suggest, isn't it?
It sure would. And we also have to understand, at least for soybeans as well, with USDA's newly lowered number as of this month, you know, our production side is still an increase, but it's not a massive increase right now. So a little positive news story there, maybe on the short term.
Excellent point. Okay. You know what? Let's jump out and talk about 2025 crop fundamentals. And before we talk about any specific strategies, what's your analysis on that longer term outlook there? Corn, beans together here.
Yeah, so as far as that goes, I think some of us may have been a little surprised by USDA's recent baseline numbers. They're kind of, let's start out with an early target for acres for next year. And they had higher corn and they had lower soybeans. It may not seem intuitive, because grain farmers, the typical argument is that they'll go for soybeans or a lower input product. I'm not quite sure. I think with this corn or with the soybean yield decline in recent weeks, and farmers love corn, maybe that story is not too outlandish. So for myself, I'm up a half million for corn acres. Soybeans right now, I'm down 1 to 3, believe it or not. So I think that's a starting point for the conversation.
Okay. That if you get opportunities in the 460 to 470 range in the Dease 2025 contract, is that something that you'd be looking at?
It is, and I don't think it's outlandish. I think it's realistic because we don't really have a valid trade discussion as far as saying we're going to hurt corn exports by a lot. We don't really have that. And on top of that, we're already trading a discount. We're trading 40 cents of a discount right now. So I think of the corn story, it's solid. Our question, of course, is still quite in front of us with soybeans.
Right. Okay. What role is wheat playing in the grain trade right now? When you sit down in the morning, is it one of the first markets that you look at?
It is the number three, and I consider it a laggard right now. I think the wheat story has a really unique, potentially bullish story in 2 months, maybe 3 months. I don't think it's is leading corn yet, but I think if there's any argument we can say for higher corn into next year, it probably would be a wheat-led rally at that point here.
Okay. This situation I put up my price screen. The first thing I do is I scroll down to wheat because that's going to tell me if there's any headlines out of the Black Sea. Normally, that's what it would be telling me. But, boy, this market sure feels just like it has it feels like it's lost interest as the situation has intensified between Russia and Ukraine, Rich. I don't understand it.
The market is saying, at least for right now, the only thing we care about is there any actual disruption yet wheat exports on a weekly basis. And so far, it's not there. So this is a very, very muted response. And the wheat story is great because maybe we can disregard some of these headlines in a few weeks. Maybe we'll have our old crop exports out of Ukraine and Russia sharply lowered starting in February. And maybe we'll have a new crop dryness discussion, maybe at some point to play in the coming spring. So a lot of things could happen for the wheat side, which could change the story.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I think, you know, if you've got a, if we're going to divide these markets up in, into leading roles and supporting roles, I'm there with you. I think wheat is more of a, in a supporting role right now. Okay, I've got just not a lot of time. Tell me your attitude in cattle.
Cattle-wise, at this point in time, keep in mind there is a seasonal. We all, we've got to watch it very carefully on the futures, and it's quite consistent. November 26 to December 9, I believe it is. So typically we have a two-week sharp break right after Thanksgiving. You see that thing happens, and I think we'll be quite underpriced for our setup into this next year ahead. So the supply drop's not aggressive, but I do look for this market to be a bit undervalued here in just 2 weeks.
That's outstanding. Man, that was really good in just like 25, 30 seconds right there. Rich, it is always good to talk to you, man. Thank you.
Happy to help. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
You bet. Rich Nelson, Chief Strategist at Allendale Inc. Man, some seasonals to pay attention to there in the live cattle trade. All right, Davis and I will be right back to wrap up today's AgriTalk.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FACE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FACE. Enjoy!
William is one of millions of Americans who uses GoodRx to save on the cost of their prescriptions.
My oldest daughter, Camilla, 2 days old, she had to have open heart surgery. All of a sudden, she's on 5 different medications. It adds up at the end of the month. Me and the pharmacist got so tight. She said GoodRx saved you a lot of money. Saving that extra $200, $300 a month, we're able to do all these extra activities. So it puts less stress on our household and it puts less stress on our pockets.
Download the free app or visit GoodRx.com and start saving today. GoodRx users are compensated for their time. GoodRx is not insurance, but can be used instead of insurance.
With Progressive, you get more than savings. You get access to us through our mobile app, online chat, or by phone.
Oh, I see what you're doing here, Jamie. Giving me all these ways to stay in touch so I have no excuse not to. Well, you're in luck, because this guy's in the market for a new BFF.
Actually, all our customers can contact us this way.
Oh, yeah, no, I was just kidding.
But I am always up for Taco Pizza!
Jinx!
Get help from Progressive through the website, app, chat, or phone. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
You set high expectations for yourself, and so do we. As America's largest farmer-led, farmer-focused agricultural and educational event, Commodity Classic has held record-breaking shows 2 years in a row, keeping you at the top of your game with a world-class trade show and inspiring education designed by farmers for farmers. Commodity Classic is elevating excellence in agriculture as we visit Denver for the first time in 2025. Join us March 2nd through 4th and discover more at commodityclassic.com.
Veterans, if you were impacted by a recent hurricane or natural disaster, the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs is here to help. To find 24/7 info about healthcare, housing, insurance, benefits payments, and more, call 1-800-MY-VA-411 or visit va.gov/resources/disaster-help. That's 1-800-MY-VA-411 or va.gov/resources/disaster-help. For emergencies, always dial 911.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report, and more than a host, I'm a journalist, a wife, and a mom of two, raising a family in the heart of rural America. I understand the issues facing agriculture today because I live it every day. I see firsthand how farming and ranching isn't just a job, it's a way of life. Covering America's most important industry is what we do, and it's why U.S. Farm Report has been on the air for nearly 50 years. I invite you to join us every weekend for U.S. Farm Report, a timely, trusted tradition.
Scammers often try to dupe veterans to steal the VA benefits they've earned. Scammers may try to obtain sensitive information or collect payments over the phone, offer to move assets in order to qualify for pension, insist benefits may be sent directly to a friend or caregiver, or promise to manage benefits or file a claim for you. VA will never charge you for processing a claim, and only VA can determine eligibility. To report suspicious activity, visit va.gov/OIG/hotline.
Wake up, get ready, grab breakfast, go to work, grab lunch, come home, run to practice, run to the store, grab dinner, go to bed, and repeat. Food fuels your day, and we fuel the people producing it with the latest news, information, and perspectives from across the globe. Ag Day is a place to learn about the business of food and farming. Join us and our team of experts as we cover the stories that keep the world moving. That's weekdays for Ag Day, the country experience.
On your favorite radio station or your preferred digital device, AgriTalk is live every weekday.
Good Professor Jim Smith, you got your ears on, brother? A little Rammstein coming for you. AgriTalk, it's happening now, everyone. Your pal Davis Michelson here, along with Chip Flory. Somewhere.
Yes.
There he is. We've got him. Chip, let's connect some dots. You wanna?
Ooh.
Like, you ever seen that little, what would you call them? Sculptures that they make where they pound little nails into a board and then they run strings between them and it makes like a sunrise or something like that.
Dude, that's art.
That's kind of how. That's art.
Okay.
Let's make
some
art.
If you can put a banana on the wall and attach it with duct tape and call it art, the string art is definitely an art. Okay.
Okay. All right. Well, here we go. Let's make some art. Okay. There's been a lot of talk about the Russia-Ukraine thing. You and I have talked about ad nauseum. And even Rich Nelson, the market is just kind of numb to this Ukraine stuff, whatever. I reported in the news today the U.S. Embassy in Kiev has temporarily closed amid warnings of potential significant air attack. The warning comes just a day after Ukraine launched American-supplied long-range missiles into Russian territory for the first time. Yeah. It's heating up. What we didn't get to – go on. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, Putin said earlier that if long-range U.S. missiles fly from Ukraine into Russia, that Russia will be at war with the U.S.
Yes. So those
attacks,
those attacks have happened. Yeah, they've shot them into Russian territory. Meanwhile, Reuters reports. Russia's President Putin is reportedly open to negotiating a ceasefire arrangement through President-elect Donald Trump. Now, there are some things. He wants to hold on to certain territories in Ukraine, and he wants Ukraine to agree never, ever, ever to join NATO. Those are some of the conditions going in. I haven't heard a whole lot about this whole thing, but Chip, my question is this. What does it do to the wheat market if there's peace between Russia and Ukraine?
Oh.
If the market no longer cares if they're fighting, what's the market going to do when they stop fighting?
Right, right.
And I don't expect an answer, dude. I'm throwing this on
you. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to answer it with questions.
Yep.
Does it allow the wheat market to then focus on what several people on this show have said is a developing positive story for positive fundamentals for the wheat trade? We've got tightening supplies around the globe.
Yes.
There, even with what is, even with ongoing production in Ukraine, even with ongoing production in Russia and the availability of those supplies to the export market, we are tightening overall supplies, and that can only happen for so long before a market is going to have to respond to it. The story that you had this morning out of Russia where producers are looking to scale back on acres because they're not making enough money growing wheat. You got to change that at some point. If your supplies keep coming down, you've got to change that at some point and put financial incentive into it so that even a producer in Russia could feel the economic incentive to grow more wheat.
Well, they've been putting so much incentive in for the buyers that I think they forgot to put incentive in for the producer, him or herself. They're going to switch to more profitable crops, peas, lentils, sunflowers, things like that. Right. I wonder how long, you know, then, longer term, how long is Russia, you know, are Russian farmers opting for peas, lentils, and sunflowers rather than wheat? That's another question I don't have an answer to.
Right, right.
It's an interesting story all coming together. And
well,
I didn't
it's
expect
an interesting
to...
time. It is, and trying to figure out exactly how these markets might react to, I mean, there's one headline that could come out of the Russia-Ukraine conflict that would generate a major price reaction, and I don't even want to say it.
No, don't say it out loud. No,
I won't.
No, no. But one does wonder how much can we say? Okay, the market's already figured in the war premium for Russia and Ukraine at what, 550, 560? We'll go to the March 572. That doesn't seem like I don't know that I would call that premium. But if it is a premium to get us at that level, bro, without that conflict, there's no more premium. And Ukraine eventually comes back as a producer. They're able to farm again, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Okay. So Rich took this another step when he was talking about the discount that we've got built into corn and soybeans, you know, out of concern that there's going to be some kind of a trade war between the U.S. and the rest of the world. So, you know, he said the fundamentals in this corn market are looking like a 460, 470, 475, but here we are 40 cents cheaper. Okay, well, he expects that to stay in place until proven otherwise that we're not going to get into some kind of a trade war. Kentucky windage all over the place. It's just licking a thumb and stick it in the air and see see what it's telling you. Maybe blow a little smoke in the air.
Sure, why not?
See which way things are drifting.
Might help.
Oh, it's crazy. It's crazy.
It really is.
I can tell you right now which direction it would blow in the backyard because I can still see the snowflakes blowing in that direction. National Weather Service 6 to 10 day outlook, November 26th through the 30th. Below normal temperatures moving into the Corn Belt. Below normal, all the way from western Indiana to the points west of that. So we've got a cool off coming. Warm temperatures to the south. Above normal precipitation expected across the entire Corn Belt. The exception would be upper Michigan and eastern Wisconsin there. Now, the 8 to 14 day, the below normal temperatures spread for November 28th through December 4th over a lot of the country. We are looking at below normal temperatures. Near normal precipitation expected in the middle of the Midwest. We've got above normal on the western edge and the eastern edge of the Corn Belt. Woo! Thank you so much for listening today. Come back tomorrow morning. We got Monty Shaw from Iowa Renewable Fuels Association and Phil Flynn from Price Futures.
The next disaster is coming. The time to get ready is now. Make a plan. Identify meetup locations and people you'll need to contact. Put your contact list in your wallet, on your phone, and somewhere visible in your home. Build a kit. Store enough food and water for 3 days. Don't forget your pets. And consider buying a pre-made kit. Keep at least 7 days of medication on hand. Work with your pharmacist and insurance company to secure the extra doses. Make copies of important documents. Keep them on your phone, in the cloud, or on a USB stick. Stay informed. Learn about local hazards. Take courses in CPR and first aid. And sign up for local alert systems. An early warning can give you the time you need to prepare for a fast-moving disaster. Be ready. Learn more at americares.org/sendusin.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Hey, it's Fitz from the Country Top 40. And I'd like to take a moment to say thank you to my beautiful wife and all my babies and my mom and dad, because I'm so grateful for them. And even when I'm having a tough day, I have them around and everything.